a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the weak world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and is righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.
Thank you, Isabella. Our second reading this morning, Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, is the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And for the next 4 weeks, we'll read from that sermon. This first reading is the famous passage called the Beatitudes. It's beautiful and probably familiar to many of you. So this morning, I suggest that you close your eyes and try to hear it anew. Imagine that you are there in the crowd that day, listening to Jesus speak. Open your senses to see and hear, smell, touch, and taste that day. Listen for God's word to you from the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Almost 2 weeks ago now, Terry Jones died. He was a member of Monty Python's Flying Circus Act and the director of the Monty Python movie, The Life of Brian. Have you seen it, anybody? Yes. It came out in 1979, a little over 40 years ago. That's hard to believe. The Life of Brian tells the story of Brian of Nazareth, who's born on the same day as Jesus of Nazareth. According to Monty Python, Brian and Jesus were born on the same night in neighboring stables. The wise men visited Brian's birthplace first because they thought he was the Messiah. And then they saw the star shining on the stable with the Holy Family. They took back their gifts and went to visit the baby Jesus instead. The movie was banned in Norway, in Ireland, some parts of Great Britain, and in the United States, it was the subject of protests, which seems a little silly now, because when you watch the movie, you'll hear that it is plenty rude and crude, but it's not sacrilegious, and it does not disrespect Jesus at all. In the movie, Brian of Nazareth attends the Sermon on the Mount. He's there with his mother. Jesus is standing on a hill teaching, and Brian is standing at the very back of this huge crowd. Brian's mother yells at Jesus, "Speak up!" And Brian pleads, "Quiet, mother." And she says, "I can't hear a thing. Let's go to the stoning." Brian replies, "Shh, you can go to a stoning anytime." The crowd at the back of the sermon is noisy, and the more they talk, the harder it gets to hear Jesus' sermon. Eventually, a man in front starts to relay what Jesus is saying to the people behind him, but it's like a game of telephone, and the farther the message gets from Jesus, the more garbled it grows. At one point, the man turns around and tells Brian, "I think he said, 'Blessed are the cheesemakers.'" Not the peacemakers, the cheesemakers. And later the man relays, "Jesus says, 'Blessed are the Greek.'" Not 'Blessed are the meek, 'Blessed are the Greek.'" Finally, Brian's mom grows impatient and says, "Let's go to the stoning. Come on, Brian, they're going to stone him before we get there." Thus ends the Sermon on the Mount, at least Monty Python's version. Blessed are the cheesemakers and blessed are the Greek. The life of Brian perfectly illustrates how difficult it is to hear and understand exactly what Jesus was trying to say that day in Galilee. Most of us seem to think that Jesus' blessings in the sermon are conditional. Blessed are you if you are poor in spirit. Blessed are you if you mourn, or if you are meek. If you are any of these worthy things, then blessed are you. But if you think that, then it's only natural that you might also think that you should try to be more like these worthy things. I really should be more poor in spirit. But I do not want to mourn any more than I have to. Okay, I could work on meekness and hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and I should be more merciful and pure in heart, but peacemaking is too hard, and persecution for being a Christian is really not a thing in the United States. I should work on this list. I really should. And so we are left feeling guilty that we cannot live up to Jesus' expectations. But is this really what Jesus expects? Is this what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples and that crowd of followers? Did Jesus want them and us to try and emulate these things? No, that's really not what he was saying. Jesus' blessings in the Sermon on the Mount are not conditional. They are straightforward. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are all these people right here in our midst. Blessed are they. It's important to know the context of the Sermon on the Mount. Last week, our reading was from Matthew chapter 4, the story of Jesus calling his first disciples. Jesus meets these two sets of brothers, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and James and John. And they are fishermen on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He calls them to leave everything and to follow him, to become his disciples. And they do. By the end of chapter 4, Jesus is traveling, teaching, preaching, and healing people. Matthew writes, "His fame spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he cured them, and great crowds followed him." Now, Matthew 5 begins by saying that the crowds are still with Jesus, and so are those brand new disciples. So when Jesus goes up on the mountain and begins to teach, he looks out on this crowd of former fishermen and people newly healed from various diseases and disabilities. This is the crowd that Jesus addresses that day. These are his people, the people that Jesus blesses. And when he blesses the poor in spirit, the mourning, the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, the persecuted, he is looking right at them. He is not using a figure of speech or referring to fictional characters or creating examples out of thin air. Jesus is blessing the people right in front of him, people hungry to hear what this teacher has to say, vulnerable, ordinary, hurting, or happy people, everyday people, real people, people just like you and me. Why is this message so hard to hear, so hard to accept? Why do we think that we have to earn God's blessing, that we have to be good enough or smart enough or hardworking enough for God to love us and to bless us? Why is that? The people around Jesus were every bit as surprised to see who he blessed. They never expected to find Jesus blessing the poor, the sick, the mourning, the peacemakers. Jesus was supposed to be with the wealthy, the educated, the religious elite, blessing them. Jan Richardson, the Methodist pastor whose blessings I often use at the end of worship, says this about Jesus' Beatitudes. We often talk about being blessed as if it is a reward, as if good fortune comes to us as just desserts. Much of Christian culture equates blessing with prosperity, with health, with satisfaction and obvious abundance. And while it's tempting to equate these gifts with the favor of God, this notion comes with a corresponding fallacy that says that those who are sick, those who are not prosperous, those whom misfortune has visited, these are not blessed. With the Beatitudes, Jesus utterly disrupts this line of thinking. End of quote. Blessing is not a reward. It's not good fortune. It's not prosperity or good health. It's not something we can achieve or accomplish. It's none of these things. To be in the presence of God is a blessing. To be with Jesus is a blessing. All of the blessing is a gift of God's grace. It is love, undeserved, unconditional love. Blessed are you, Jesus says. Blessed are you. Last Saturday afternoon, I was home trying to catch a nap before returning to church for youth group when I heard a knock on the door. When I grumpily opened the door, I found two young men who explained that they were from a Baptist church in Creswell. They handed me a pamphlet and they wanted to talk about salvation. Hoping to scare them away, I explained that I was a minister at the Presbyterian church here in town. That did not work. So I told them that I was confident that I was saved because I've known and loved God my entire life. And then I thanked them and handed them back the flyer. But that didn't really work either. One of the men had one more question, which was something like this. When you get to heaven, what do you think that God will say to you? Now, I wish that I'd handled this part a little bit differently. I wish that I'd asked him what he thought that God would say to him. I wish that I'd turned that question back on him, because the way that we respond to questions like that reveals so much about our theology and our relationship with God. You see, growing up, I thought that when we reached heaven, there would be a big drive-in movie theater. And every bad thing that we did throughout our lives would play on that huge movie screen for everyone to see. And then God would decide if the good outweighed the bad. And if we were very lucky, we would go to heaven rather than hell. No one ever taught me that, but that's what I took away from Baptist Sunday school and summer camp. So when that man asked me, when you get to heaven, what do you think that God will say to you? That old stuff quickly ran through my mind. And then I was surprised to hear myself say this. I think that God will say to me and to everyone else, come in. I love you. I've been waiting for you. Come in. And as soon as I said that, I saw two sets of eyes get very big. Like, that was not quite what they expected to hear. And it sort of shocked me, too. But that answer revealed to me that I've left that old stuff behind and that this is God's gift to me. When I took that question to youth group that night, everybody had great responses. It was all, welcome, God loves you, I'm proud of you, come in. Everybody around the table had the same response. Just like Jesus looked upon the crowd during the Sermon of the Mount, on the Mount, and he saw them clearly and blessed them, Jesus does the same for us. And when we know that we are blessed, when we have that assurance of God's love deep in our souls, when we know that God loves us, then we can extend that blessing to other people. Jesus blesses us so that we might recognize and receive and respond to his love with more love. We pass that blessing on to one another with acts of love and service. We are blessed to be a blessing. Can you take that in? Can you recognize God's blessing in your life? Can you receive that blessing and then respond by passing that on to other people, by blessing them? We're going to sing a hymn now called Blessed Are They by David Haas. And I love the refrain, which says this: Rejoice and be glad. Blessed are you. Holy are you. Rejoice and be glad. Yours is the kingdom of God. Amen.